Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals come to find insights and inspiration for success. Hosted by the Missouri Training Institute, Dewey Thompson, Ray Lyon, and Brianna Larimer share their decades of experience training in workplaces across the nation and talk to other experts about what it takes to be a team player, a great manager, and a leader others want to follow. This is the Weekly Workplace.
Welcome to the Weekly Workplace. My name is Brianna Larimer, business trainer and consultant with Missouri Training Institute. And with us again today, the fabulous MTI team, Dewey Thompson, Ray Lyon, and we are here today to talk about grit. And I don't know about you all, but the movie that always comes to mind when I hear the word grit, it was probably one of the first places I heard it, was True Grit, the old John Wayne version. That was probably one of my favorite movies. So tell me a little bit about, in your all's point of view, what is the value of grit in the workplace?
To me, it's about pushing forward, right? I mean, we all experience setbacks. We all experience, different diversions or different pathways we might have to go down. But coming back to, what it is you're originally trying to accomplish and learning to push through it, push forward with it, to me is what grit's all about.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, I didn't see that movie, True Grit, believe it or not.
Wow. I know.
And I know, John Wayne and True Grit. I mean, I know of the movie. I'm not just a big movie person per se, but when I think of grit, I definitely think of it as that little thing inside your person that causes you not to give up. I don't think it's the thing that necessarily makes success always easy for you. You're still going to have those setbacks. You're still going to screw up. Things are not going to just happen magically. But I definitely think that it's part of your character, like Dewey was mentioning, that gets you to stand back up, dust yourself off and say, well, that didn't work. what now? And I think it can be learned.
Absolutely.
I think it can be learned. Absolutely. I think some people, it's just easier. You've seen it either when you were growing up through, the people that raised you, or, you had a good mentor, a coach when you were young, or, something like that. But sometimes it's in your DNA and sometimes you just learn it. But yeah, it's that thing that keeps you going no matter what.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time in my youth at my granny and grandpa's farm. And looking back, I think about the grit that they had all the time. They didn't eat anything that they didn't grow themselves. When you're kind of forced in that kind of a position to take care of yourself and make your living off the land, things don't always go the right way. You get storms, you get freezes that ruin your crops, you get diseases in your crops, whatever. But they always push forward, right? For them, it was oftentimes a matter of survival. I just think about the grit that they had to keep pushing forward and never giving up.
I agree to a certain extent that grit can be learned. I think that when I consider that, and I think of my own grandparents and all of the perseverance that they have displayed through the years as well, I feel like the people I went to school with, kind of this cohort of folks, we struggle because we don't always know what we're passionate about. And I think to be able to have that grit and that persistence, you got to care enough about what it is that you're trying to overcome. I don't know if I always saw that with a lot of my, people I associated with and growing up through school with. It was just kind of a being so inundated with information and with opportunities and sometimes feeling entitled to certain opportunities. And I feel like sometimes grit needs to be brought back into the vocabulary of our workplaces because it's different now. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a little different now.
You brought up an interesting word in that, that it's not just the get up and get back at it, whether it was out of necessity, like Dewey, you were talking about your grandparents, like you you didn't have a choice. You know, if I want to eat and survive, you know, whether I liked it or not, I had to overcome those natural elements, you know, in order to eat and see the next day. What you were talking about, Brianna, that wasn't maybe necessarily something I had to think about. You know, I was going to eat, you know, and not always. I get it. But the idea of passion. Mm-hmm. You know, what do I love to do and what do I have access to and figuring that out? And I think sometimes we think of it as in those things, what are the consequences of not succeeding? You know, and are they as severe as, let's say, Granny and Papa's, you know, situation that Dewey had mentioned? You know, those are severe consequences of not succeeding. Yet in the situation you were talking about, Brianna, those consequences are, you know, minimal. Mm-hmm. You know, so what? Right. I'll just move on to the next thing. And so when the consequences aren't as severe, where is the learning? Where is the passion that creates that? And I can see where it wouldn't necessarily be something that's learned because of the consequences or the lack thereof.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, in one of the most important elements for me, and it's taken, you know, 30 some odd years now for me to recognize it, is the value of having that outside perspective when you are inundated with so much information right now, with so many opportunities and with maybe not as many consequences in perspective. And so, you know, you talked earlier about the idea of a mentorship and trying to work through others or have others help you identify how to find out what your passion is and then how to really grow in those areas where maybe you've never had to before. And so that concept of grit really does come back to the passion and the persistence. But if you can't identify your passion, maybe it's time to start asking for some outside help, some focus in that area, at least, like I said, for me and some of my friends who have voiced the same concerns as well.
Yeah. You know, I had a mother that was extremely talented. You know, she just had that ability to do anything she wanted to do, whatever she picked up. She was athletic. You know, she chose to play this sport. She was relatively successful at this sport. Didn't mean that it was easy for her, but she, if she put her mind to it, she was very good at it. Mm-hmm. And so I watched her be successful in many things. And I remember, you know, she would challenge us as children to be good if we were going to pick up something. And I remember being at a family reunion one time and we were playing ping pong. My mother was beating me at ping pong. You know, I'm like 8. And, you know, she was beating me at ping pong. And my aunt was like, you know, well, Diane, you know, aren't you going to let her win? And my mom was like, no, if she's going to win, then she better get better. You know, and so that was kind of the philosophy, you know. You either get better or you lose. And I grew up with that mindset, mm-hmm. you know, get better or lose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it taught me that if I was going to beat my mother, you know, and beat like in quotation, you know, these are air quotes, you know, if I was going to beat my mother at whatever it was, then I better get better. You know, she wasn't going to let me win at anything. Mm-hmm. And so it was really interesting, you know, as I, you know, grew up and progressed and got better at whatever it was that I was doing. I remember when the tides kind of changed and she came to me, you know, I became a management consultant and she would come to me. She owned businesses and she was like, I've got this thing, you know, what do I do about this? You know? And so I was like, oh, yeah, you need to get better at that, Mom. You know, and it was just kind of one, you know.
My question is, Ray, did you ever beat her at ping pong?
Oh, no. No, no, no. I mean, yeah, she was a consummate professional, anything athletic. You know, I remember like one of the first dates my parents ever went on when they were in college was golf. My mother had never played golf before. And for those of you sitting around this table, you know, my mother ended up becoming a professional golfer, you know, and a member of the LPGA in college, mm-hmm. you know, and then turned that into her profession. So that's just how talented she was. But yeah, get better or lose. That was the motto in our house.
For you, you had to care enough, right, to continue to try and get better. And that's really where, like I said, nowadays, I feel like like we just struggle because there's so much out there. There's just so much out there.
But well, you know, Brianna, I think that's an interesting point too, is that, you know, we all experience lots of different setbacks in what it is that we're trying to accomplish. And it's easy, I think, sometimes now to give up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can be distracted by so many different things. You know, oh, if I'm not so successful here, maybe I'll just turn my attention over here.
Right, right.
Oh, I'm not successful here, I'll turn my attention over here. And so, yeah, I think it is important that you really have to know what it is you're going after, mm-hmm. right? You talked about that idea of passion, really understanding what it is you're really trying to achieve, so that you, it's easier, I think, to find the grit. It's easier to find that persistence inside mm-hmm. when you have a very clear picture of what it is that you're really trying to accomplish.
Right. Right. Yeah. That focus.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's focus. And now we're pulled in so many different directions. There's so much stimuli out there, you know, that can be distractions. And we lose that sense of clarity and we lose that sense of focus. And I think, you know, to try to transition all of this conversation into the workplace, we see it there as well. We work with leaders that, you know, we've got, you know, so many goals we have for our work teams. And a lot of times we walk in and we tell our leaders, you know, through our consulting, focus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't need 10 and 15 goals annually. What are the top things that you need your people to focus on? Mm-hmm. What would absolutely come to a grinding halt if your people did not achieve these things?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's also helpful, you know, and so personally and professionally, what do you need to do in order to achieve and succeed in your life and providing that focus. But, you know, you talk about that perseverance. You know, that's part of that grit that we're talking about.
Yeah. When you fall down, what goes through your head, right? I think that was kind of the main message I took away while you're doing research for this podcast. When you fall down, what goes through your head? And honestly, that's whatever it is that goes through your head. That's what's making the difference. It's either making you succeed or making you fail. And so I really do believe, yes, grit can be learned. However, it is a lot more difficult today to learn it unless maybe you have some of that outside help to focus in on what it is that you really should be in pursuit of. I'm curious if we kind of switch the narrative a little bit. When we've talked about the importance of grit. We've talked about the importance of grit in the workplace. Do you all ever see times where grit could hinder performance?
I think, yes. And oftentimes I think what happens is that people get so singularly focused on something that they don't look, or they have a hard time maybe receiving feedback about, is that the correct approach to go? Is that the correct, or is that really what it is I'm trying to accomplish? So you can kind of get stuck once in a while, you know, believing something without necessarily opening yourself up maybe to some other possibilities.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I call that single objective functioning. We focus too much on achieving the one thing when we're actually harming the bigger picture.
Well, if you think about leaders who have really display grit to achieve really good results, they're probably also very self-aware. So they know when maybe they get a little too singularly focused on one objective. They are able to actually encourage feedback about what it is that they're doing, as opposed to somebody who's singularly objectively focused on something that, you know, I don't care what you have to say about it. This is the direction I'm going to go. Right. So, again, that idea of self-awareness in leadership, I think, could be very, very helpful. Another really hard tool, I think, for leaders.
And, you know, there's an author out there, Angela Duckworth. She's also a psychologist. She's CEO of this place called Character Labs. I was doing research for this. I found some of her characteristics of grit to be very interesting. So to kind of speak to that, you know, you talk about the self-awareness piece. I think, and one of the things she proposes in her work, is that you have to have hope. You know, like there's an element of self-awareness, and then there's an element of truly being hopeful that you that you can jump over that wall, that there is kind of that brighter picture, that there is the grass may be greener on the other side. And I feel like, especially with what we've all been through over the last year, this will take some intentional effort, you know, to continue to be hopeful for our future, to be continue to be self-aware enough to know, are we lacking that hope, to know what our focus is, what our passions are, and to persevere. She's got a grit scale out there. I thought it was interesting. So if you're interested in checking it out, Angela Duckworth, her grit scale is on her website. You can take it and it actually rates you on a 5-point scale. So it was very interesting. It gives you kind of a starting place.
Well, I definitely think people with grit aren't afraid to fail.
Oh, absolutely. But they look at their failure as an opportunity to learn.
Absolutely.
You know, it's that whole thing of, you know, the old saying, if you fall down and you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results, right? So I think people who do display grit, they aren't afraid to fail, but they take that moment then to learn maybe and then change. You know, I think that's another interesting word to use when we talk about the idea of grit is the idea of change. I think sometimes people are very afraid to change. They like things being the old ways of doing things, this is the way I've done it, you know, and so I'm going to continue to do that. That seems to work for me. But then you don't get those new breakthroughs, right? You don't get new ways of looking at things or maybe innovation maybe within the workplace. So
we talk about, you know, resilience, I think, with grit.
Mm-hmm.
So resilience, the ability to get back up and back in the race, the fight, whatever, however you want to.
Back in the saddle.
Yeah, exactly. And then how quickly. I think that's also part of it. You know, so whether you get back up right away or, you know, how much do you lull around and, you know, look for external blame factors. And my granny used to call it, you know, the sad sack. Woe is me, you know, and then it takes other people to push you and build you back up. And I think somebody with grit, you know, just kind of stands up and goes, oh, darn. Wow. Okay. You know, round two, you know, and kind of does it for themselves, kind of has that internal push. So I think resiliency is part of that.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Ray, because what I do find is that if you don't have the idea of grit, right, or that idea of resiliency, you can really become that poor little victim. I failed and it's their fault, or I failed because it's this process's fault, or, you know, other people didn't do what they were supposed to do, so I failed, you know. When you play that victim role, kind of limits their influence once in a while by getting up, getting back on that saddle, and even if you fail again, you know, doing it one more time, you know, you're taking responsibility for yourself. You are still moving forward. Benjamin Franklin said, you know, I haven't failed. I've learned 1,000 many different ways that doesn't work, you know, and I think that's a good mindset to kind of go in with things.
You know, we talk about that as like an external locus of control.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find with those people is when failure happens and they look externally for those, I also see that when success happens to them, because they also look externally and they say, well, the test was easy. You know, so when success happens, they also find that there's an external place. And so they also don't give themselves credit.
Right.
So they don't say, well, you know, I studied hard and that's why I succeeded at that. So it's a very interesting phenomenon. So to me, that goes back to that psyche, that there's low self-esteem there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're going to talk about that in a different podcast, but, you know, it's an interesting place. Yeah.
So with that in mind, in your opinion, can somebody with low self-esteem still have grit?
Not without changing the internal voice. Yeah. So when I think about the resiliency and I think about that, I think also with grit comes that optimism, you know, and you talked about change a little bit earlier, like using it as a what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be an element of creativity that goes into, you know, why didn't it work? And was my effort enough this time? You know, so meaning, do I try it again doing what I've been doing, or do I really need to reroute my plan?
Right.
You know, getting creative with a new approach to doing it. not just a harder effort at the same thing, but a new
way of doing it. Hammering that square into that round hole, you know,
yeah.
and it's still not going to go in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, even with perseverance, is it that approach that you just mentioned, or is it a whole new approach?
So as we kind of start wrapping this episode up, I guess, bring it all back together. What would be some quick tips that we would give our listeners for really trying to develop that grit then in the workplace or outside of the workplace?
I would say one thing is to keep learning and keep at it, right? You know, you keep practicing. You don't get good at something unless you kind of have the ability to practice that once in a while.
Right.
You learn new things. You learn additional things. And so you can be very creative, but you gotta keep practicing. You gotta keep moving forward.
Yeah. I would say find also that person that you trust that would give you good feedback, not always easy feedback, but good, honest feedback that you would be willing to listen to so that you can get a true temperature take on how they view you, and then, you know, be open to that feedback. Be willing to make changes if that's
right.
You know what you need.
Right. I would also say one other thing I think could be very, very helpful is the idea of your vision and how clear it is to you. We have an idea of what it is we're trying to accomplish. We have a, but it's kind of unclear. You know, I think about my daughter. You know, she grew up in landlocked Missouri, and she wants to be a marine biologist. She has had this dream since she was been, you know, in grade school, but she, every day she kind of has this more clear vision of herself. She can see herself be successful at it.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to knowing she knows what her purpose is. She knows what she likes. She knows what her purpose is, and she's going to pursue it with all she's got. And I think that would be my one tip to listeners is identify the things that you're interested in first. You know, you should go through the process, identify the things you're interested in, and then looking at all that, really do some self-reflection and think about what is your purpose while you're here on earth. Mm-hmm. What is your purpose? Mm-hmm. And then find the people that you can get the outside perspective from, add it all together, and pursue it with all you got. All right. Any other final thoughts before we sign off today?
Go and be gritty.
That's right. Go be gritty and go be great.
Thanks for listening to The Weekly Workplace, hosted by the Missouri Training Institute. Dewey, Ray, and Brianna stand ready to connect with you and meet your training needs. Be sure to check out ways to contact them in the episode description or at mti.missouri.edu.